Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Howard Simon and Jeremy White.
Hey guys, your intro to your segments really sucked. Childish, unprofessional, a lot of yelling and screaming. How about growing up, eh?
Howard Simon. Jeremy White.
Whee!
On WGR.
High five and slapping butts.
Sports Radio 550.
We'll be doing that at training camp. The GR staff, we're into the high five and slapping butts at Bill's training camp. Get you some headlines real quick. The Open Championship, a lot of red numbers. So the weather must be still pretty good there. Cool, but not nasty, crazy, windy, rainy, all that other crazy stuff that we kind of get used to at the Open Championship. JB Holmes is your leader. He's still out on the course through 17. He's at 8-under. Co-leader was Shane Lowry, who is through 5. They're both at 8-under. There's one golfer at 7-under. It's Tommy Fleetwood. He has finished his round for the day. In a group of 6-under, there are 5 guys there, including Justin Rose, Tony Finau, Lee Westwood. Those are all at 6-under. Brooks Koepka is done. He's at 5-under. So is Jordan Spieth, who's been having a rather crappy season, but he's off to a good start halfway through the Open. They are both at 5-under. That is your leaderboard right now. But I mentioned a lot of red scores. If you scroll down the leaderboard, there are very few golfers over par today. Maybe 6-7 guys that are over par-ish. Now, there are still groups that have not hit the course. The last group to tee off, I think, is going to be at around 11:15 this morning. Baseball happenings. The Yanks took a pair from Tampa. The Mets lost in 16 to San Francisco. The Bisons lost to Charlotte. Mentioned earlier, they're home tonight, 7:05. And it's Hall of Fame induction weekend in Cooperstown. I would bet there are some Yankee fans who are going to see Mariano Rivera get inducted into the Hall officially on Sunday. Perhaps Mike Mussina as well. Of course, he also played with the Orioles. Edgar Martinez and Roy Halladay all going into the Hall on Sunday. 803, those are your headlines. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. One of the things we've been talking about this morning. Who are you excited to see or track once the Bills get to training camp? Getting a lot of Robert Fosters. He's on my list. I think rookies are always on the list every year, no matter what. I just looked up, saw a tweet from Tom, said Devin Singletary. Sure, Singletary, Ed Oliver, Dawson Knox, you know, to see if there's definitely some talent, some potential there to see if he's, you know, beyond anything but a raw prospect at this point. Could he help? I think tight end is a huge question mark on this team. But I also, Foster, I also put down guys like Cole Beasley. We talked earlier about Cole Beasley when Sal was on with us as being an X factor here, a clutch receiver. And the other guy mentions Tremaine Edmonds. I think Tremaine Edmonds would be, I'm expecting big things from him in year number two. Loved how he came along in year one. I think in terms of guys you're excited to watch, obviously Josh Allen. I didn't want to go with the obvious. But Tremaine Edmonds to me is a guy that I'll be glued in a lot to see how he is doing in year two, taking over a leadership role. And, you know, a guy that I hope becomes a real big game wrecker in the middle of the defense this season.
Do you put any stock in? I had an email about this, or maybe a text or a tweet, that, because I'm sure it's a question that will be asked at training camp of Allen and everybody on the offense. Since the defense is expected to be good,
yeah,
do you believe there is a benefit to playing a really good defense in training camp every day?
I hadn't really thought about that, quite honestly.
I feel like it's a story we've heard before.
Yeah, I don't know how.
And I don't know that anybody would ever have a way to quantify it, but the idea being, would you rather play against the Bills? Allen's practicing against the Bills defense every day, or against the Dolphins defense, just pick them, maybe not going to be as good.
I guess
the
I
Chiefs
would only
defense,
go.
Right? The Chiefs are really bad. Would you be getting better by practicing against a tougher defense?
I would say typically I don't think it makes that big a difference. The only thing I would think of, Jeremy, is more about individual matchups. You know, would a rookie wide receiver get better going against Trey White all the time at training camp? I, you know, so I, it, it isn't, you know, I mean, You could talk about offensive linemen against Jerry Hughes, but they're not going that hard at training camp. You can't sack the quarterback. You can get to them. So I don't think as much about, does Josh Allen get better against this defense? I don't put as much stock in that as facing other teams. So I would think only in individual matchups. I wouldn't put a lot of stock in getting better because you're facing that defense. Is the Rams defense any better facing them? Like, the Chiefs defense was the worst in the NFL last year. They went against Patrick Mahomes in training camp. They must not have gotten much better from that. So I wouldn't necessarily put stock in that beyond maybe an individual matchup or two that's helping somebody get better. You wanted to bring up Mitch Marner. I wanted to bring up something quick about jerseys. It's kind of just a quick whine. The whole going with jerseys of teams that used to be around and now they're in your city, don't do that. The Nationals recently wore Montreal Expos jerseys. I love the Expos jerseys. Love the color, love everything. Love the caps, love the logo. Don't need the Nationals to wear the Expos jersey because that was not your team. They were in a different city. Don't do that. I don't like it when the Carolina Hurricanes go to Boston and wear the Hartford Whalers jerseys. I thought NHL or NBC, somebody tweeted out, hey, what would you think if Colorado wore these jerseys this season? And it's a Quebec Nordique jersey. You know, a city that loses the team, the city they go to, don't do a throwback thing with the uniform for the city that lost the team. They lost the team. So I don't, you know, I would not have been a big fan of, did the Clippers ever wear? I feel like the Clippers did wear Braves uniforms at some point. Don't do that. They lost their team. You have your own new uniform, your own identity. Don't go back and do the throwback stuff. It's just, to me, it's out of place. Mitch Marner, what do you want to talk about?
He says he's not going to go to training camp if he doesn't have a contract, right?
Yeah, he's worried about injury. He's worried about the likelihood that he could be injured. He didn't say definitively, I'm not showing up without a new deal. I guess he was at a charity golf tournament or something yesterday, so some members of the media had a chance to talk to him. And one of the things, he didn't say much, but one of the things he mentioned was the likelihood that he would skip camp because he wouldn't want to run the risk of injury.
Mm-hmm.
And honestly, if I was Marner, I don't know how insurance works. I suppose you could insure future earnings or something. I wouldn't show up at camp if there's no contract. You'd show up if it's done. So if I were him, I would play it out the same way. However, if I'm the Leafs, you know, if I'm Toronto, there was some talk that maybe they're waiting for an offer sheet. At least, you know, maybe the agent is trying to get one. It closes this, you get a contract done. Let's not do a Nylander thing here if I'm Toronto. I mean, the last thing I would want is Mitch Marner showing up however many games into missing camp and the preseason and the start of the season and showing up a quarter of the way in the season or whenever Nylander showed up. I really never thought this would drag on that long.
Well, I get what the Leafs fans that say, I hope he signs an offer sheet would say, just because it does put a one-week thing on it. You don't have to do...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, wouldn't everybody love it if the NHL offseason were... The NHL announced all moves have to be done in the next 7 days.
Ooh, wow.
I would think,
that would
great.
Be crazy.
All right, Jason Botcher, let's see what you can do.
All the trades have to be done.
Everything.
Wow.
In 7 days,
Imagine you're
done.
That's chaos.
I mean, it would only be chaos because we're sitting around doing nothing.
Signings, RFA.
Sure, 7 days.
Offer sheets, trades, everything.
Done.
Wow.
It'd be amazing. It'd be wonderful.
Well, we wouldn't have to wake up every day and go, I did your thing last night. 2:45 this morning, I woke up, I was wide awake.
Trade?
And I went to Twitter to see if there was a Sabres trade or a rumor last night of a Sabres trade. So whatever you had, I've caught it. I really don't need this thing to be drawn out over entire summer. If you did a 7-day thing, get it all done, great.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess the point I'm making about this is, it's kind of funny to me. You know me. I'm the offer sheet obsessor. That's what I do. It's what I've done for years. It took 1 month for offer sheets to go from, you could never do it, they'll be so mad at you, to, you know, actually, I kind of hope they do it, make it easier on me. The Hurricanes pretending that they were happy with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I said there were going to be offer sheet wars. They're not even offer sheet wars. Now we're getting offer sheet handshakes?
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. Thanks for doing that. We will take
this
guy.
Well, it is.
And you know what? If you wouldn't mind, would you offer sheet Mitch Marner? And then we'll make an informed decision.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I thought there were going to be wars back and forth because these guys were going to be competitive. And now they can't quite decide if it's competitive or if it helps.
It's funny that, you know, if you are that team... Sure, it's closure. I mean, if you're Winnipeg, I don't know, maybe Shovel Dayoff is hoping that somebody puts an offer sheet down on Patrick Laine or Kyle Connor so they know they're getting a deal done. But it's funny. You're sitting here talking about, Like, the Canes know they're going to match. Let's say the Canes, we're going to match Aho. Doesn't matter. But they need the offer sheet to actually get the actual number down on paper that they're going to match. Like, if you're the Leafs, I still don't think Marner's leaving. I don't know. I don't have it in front of me. One of the 8 million Toronto Maple Leafs media earlier this morning tweeted something about how, you know, homegrown boy, he's not leaving. Marner's going to stay with the Leafs. He's given no indication that he'd even want to sign an offer sheet to go play elsewhere. So if you're the Leafs, you're going to get the deal done. It looks like Marner wants to stay there. What's so hard about all this? You know, whether it's, is it because they don't want to give him the Matthews term? I just, to me, at the very least, if an offer sheet brings closure, I would be cool with that. I'm a Leaf fan going, okay, fine. You know what? Columbus, great. Where's your offer sheet for Marner? The Leafs are going to match. Now he's done. I don't have to worry about the kid not showing up for training camp. Go ahead, Columbus. Send in the offer sheet.
There's also the whole idea of getting mad at the player for wanting to make what he can make. This is about to happen with the Cowboys, too, with Ezekiel Elliott, right? You know, it's such a – I think it's a bit of a strange time because in the NBA – you do whatever you want.
Yeah.
The players run the league.
Yeah.
You want to get out of town, you ask for a trade. You say you need to be traded.
Not only do you ask for a trade, you can get somebody else from another team to ask for a trade, Paul George.
Right.
So he comes and joins you in Los Angeles.
Exactly. The NBA, the players run the league. Mm-hmm. And it's very, very, it's extremely popular. It might be the maybe not the fastest growing league, but they are just loving their growth right now.
It doesn't hurt the sport.
No,
I know there was always stuff about the super teams, Miami, Golden State. I saw Shaq yesterday talking about how he doesn't like the idea that, you know, super teams are still going on because, you know, you want to compete and beat other guys, not have them join up with you and win a championship. I would disagree. You want to win titles. Oh, by the way, Shaq had Kobe and Penny Hardaway before that.
And the Raptors weren't a super team.
Right. They were good. Yeah. But they were missing something.
You've got Indiana, Utah. These are teams that are trying to build a different kind of way that aren't exactly super teams.
But
anyway,
look, it's good for the sport.
But the point is, in the NBA, it's totally fine for these players to have their own agency and go where they want to go. It's what they do. Here, the NFL and the NHL have very different cultures where you're supposed to sacrifice for the team at all mm-hmm. costs, right? You're supposed to be the good team player.
Yep.
Here's Ezekiel Elliott. He says, "I want to get paid." And I saw Colin Cowherd yesterday immediately said a Cowboy should trade him.
Look at Melvin
and
Gordon.
And if that's the case, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, in if he's in the NBA, what does he say? Great, fine, trade me. I don't care. I don't have any loyalty to this organization. Right. Why should I?
Right.
In the NBA, loyalty is nothing. It is a cutthroat, win-at-all-costs league. Some guys, Dirk, played for Dallas forever. Mm-hmm. You know? LeBron left his hometown to go to Miami. He won his titles. Then he went back to his hometown, won a title. Now he's off in L.A. Why? Because he feels like it.
Well, Dwayne Wade was beloved in Miami.
Yes.
Left, came back, and he's still beloved in Miami.
I realize I probably make too many comparisons to the Premier League, but in the NBA's player movement is most like that. You'll play for rivals. You don't care. I'm going to go where I can win.
Right.
I'm going to go to the highest bidder, and I'm going to sign a deal that is only going to be guaranteed for 2 years. Then I'm going to opt out and sign somewhere else. Meanwhile, in the NFL and the NHL, you've got this idea, maybe you're Braden Point, maybe you're John Tavares actually bucked the trend, right, and didn't just sign with the Islanders because of loyalty. He went to the Leafs because he wanted to play for them. And on the island, they're talking about him like he's some sort of traitor and he's a liar. These cultures around the NHL and the NFL are, I just think there's a little too much about loyalty and not enough about winning.
Yeah.
Not enough about these guys that, hey, I want to go win, and I'm going to get paid. It's my life. I'm going to do what I want. I run my own show. I am an independent contractor. You might say you don't like players that are hired guns, but all of them are. Some of them just stay in the same place and work for the same company the whole time. But, you know, the Cowboys should trade Zeke. Yeah, fine. Go ahead. All right. I'm Ezekiel Elliott. Okay. I didn't have any allegiance to the Cowboys until they drafted me. Then I put up huge numbers, helped them, and then they decided they didn't want to pay me. All right, who does? Cutthroat.
How is it different than a high-profile guy that's a trade rental in the NHL? You're bringing in somebody else to try and help you win, even though you know he might not be sticking around for a while. I think your point about the cutthroat stuff was tied into the offer sheets, that GMs are supposed to be beating each other up to try and win a Stanley Cup as opposed to worrying about
not just that,
angering a cohort.
And that players should not for a second think about, what does this mean for my loyalty? Who cares? Like, I get it. In the room, it matters. But that is the culture of hockey and the culture of football. And the NBA is a smaller roster.
How much
you know, that's probably a big part of this. But yeah, I just see loyalty coming up so much.
How much is it the culture of hockey? How much is it? It is a more restrictive system. You know, you got a 3-year entry level deal, then you got arbitration. Now, you don't hit a free agency until you're 26.
You have a 3-year entry level deal, and then you can get out. You just have to find another employer.
You could if you get an offer sheet and your team does. I mean, you're not totally unfettered at age 22 or 21 or whatever.
Kevin LeBanc, right? Kevin LeBanc?
Well, that was a stupid deal.
He signed a 1-year, $1 million deal.
Nobody
this guy put up more points than Kevin Hayes.
Yeah.
And Kevin Hayes got $50 million.
7 years, whatever that
could be. So if you're Kevin LeBanc, he probably feels some sort of pressure.
Hey, Kevin LeBanc's making less than Johan Larson this season.
Why? He feels pressure to stay with the team that drafted him.
The team out.
They gave me this opportunity. I get that on some level, but on another level, hey, why don't you go make $5 million a year with some team that's willing to give that to you? And if your employer thinks you're worth it, they'll match that. Same with Zeke. Oh, we might trade you. Okay, go ahead, trade me. I'm listening to that Sports Wars series on Shaq and Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. It's great because what you find out what you probably already knew. Kobe Bryant was all about himself.
Mm-hmm.
He wanted to be the greatest ever. He wanted to play like Michael. He wanted to win titles, mm-hmm. but he also wanted to be the guy. He wanted to be the MVP. He was the one out there doing his own thing outside of the team construct. He asked for a trade. They thought about trading him. On and on as he and the whole team warred. It was basically that nobody in the locker room liked Kobe at all, really.
Right.
Because he was all about himself.
But you won with him.
He's
a phenomenal player.
Not only did you win with him, but what you had there was a immensely driven player that was willing to say, I don't really care about this person. I'm here to be the best of all time and find my way to being in that conversation.
But did put himself ahead of the team. But when it was all said and done, he was able to pull it off. He won, you won, the Lakers won gazillion championships, and maybe you wouldn't be happy with him as a teammate, maybe you wouldn't hang out with him socially, but you won with him, and you knew if you needed a clutch shot, guess who's going to rise up and win the game for you?
Tim writes in, I get your point on the contracts, but the structure of the NFL makes it difficult because they're not guaranteed. All the more reason that Ezekiel Elliott should not care about loyalty.
Yeah.
You don't even guarantee my contract.
Well, that's where
why would I be loyal to a company?
That's one of the reasons why Le'Veon Bell sat out last year. Why would I want to play under a 1-year tag and you guys give me 400 touches and beat me up for 1 year for $14 million? I'm going to sit out, get $50 million or wherever he got guaranteed from the Jets, $50 million, and it worked for him.
Adam Silver, I mean, I often say he's the best commissioner in sports, and sometimes he says stuff that he has to say. One of them being, he said something to the effect he's worried about all these players forcing trades.
Yeah.
Tough. What's the alternative? You can't stop them from asking for trades.
You could tell, I guess you could, well, teams don't have to trade them, but ultimately they'll lose these guys for nothing anyway. So why wouldn't you trade them?
Not only that, but okay, you're going to remove, let's say they instituted some system where the players have that, they can't do that anymore. Are you going to tell the GMs they can't trade players too?
Right,
because
the GMs are still running their own business.
Right. The GMs are allowed to run the business, and the players are independent contractors.
And if Oklahoma City decides, well, it's time for us to rebuild, let's go stockpile draft picks. You can't tell them not to trade Paul George. And you can't tell them to trade for Chris Paul and then try not to spin Chris Paul for future assets. This is their decision of what they decided to do with their franchise. You can't tell the GMs not to do business. And by the way, if you tell them, don't trade these guys, when they get to the end of their contracts, they're just going to walk for nothing. If you're Oklahoma City, why not trade Paul George and get something for him rather than just lose him to free agency eventually? So you can never dictate that to GMs. 803-0550 to join us. Let's see. We'll go to Jerry and Kenmore. Jerry, you're on WGR. Go right ahead.
You know, I want to say something about the way the NBA, you know, works real quickly. But back to your movies real quick. We all have that favorite movie, and mine is Shawshank Redemption.
Oh.
And I've seen it probably 70 times.
I watched it again the other day.
I can honestly count on one hand the number of times I've seen the beginning, because I always get it partway through and watch it till the end.
Yeah.
You know? I've probably seen the beginning 5 times. I've probably seen the end 70 times.
Yeah, well, the best part is the end, you know, when he disappears and the whole thing and going back to tell you how he got out, that's the greatest part.
It really is. It's my favorite movie by a mile. But quickly, you know, Howard, our sons played against each other in hockey and baseball, and, you know, they grew up in an era where it bothered me that any time we drafted a team for house hockey or house baseball, it was, oh, he's got to play with his friends. Oh, you know, he's got to play with Joey. He's got to play with Mark. They've played together for years. They're best friends. I grew up in an age, you know, the similar age as you, Howard. I loved playing against my friends.
Oh, no, we didn't. When we drafted pickup softball teams, I always took my friends.
Yeah, right, but when you're playing Little League, tonight I'm playing against Joey. This is awesome. I can't wait for tonight.
Right.
That doesn't happen anymore. Joey's playing with you because that's the culture of the sport.
You're really glossing over one pretty important thing here, is that your friends are the best players in the world.
Well, I agree, but you never heard Magic and Larry Bird say, you know, we need to play together one time. And they did on an Olympic team, but that's a country thing. But they never said, you know, we really need to play together. I know we're rivals and we saved this league, but I think it'd be really cool if we played together.
But they're doing it to try to win titles.
They did win titles individually.
You know? Right, so they didn't have to do it because they were already winning
titles.
Magic
didn't need Larry because he had, you know, he had Worthy and all the talent around him. And Larry didn't need Magic because he had, you know, McHale and Parrish and all these guys around him. They were great in their own situations.
And the difference is also, when it comes to these players, they play together. They come up together through college. They share agents, right? They play in international tournaments, especially in hockey. I mean, if you're a hockey player, you've played with or against half of the league by the time you're drafted, right?
There's probably you would have connected somewhere along the way on your way to the NHL. Anyway, what, go ahead, finish your point, Jerry.
Well, you know, my point is that don't you like winning on your own and not think it's...
I like winning. However it gets... I like winning.
Who won on their own?
Do you think...
Who won on their own?
No, but my point is, do you think those dream teams from the 80s and the 90s really think, wow, we did a great job winning a gold medal here. Honestly, did you really do a great job?
That's a different discussion. Talking about an all-star team with the greatest talent against countries at that point that just didn't have that level of talent.
Should the players on those teams have demanded that the best players did not come?
But isn't that what the NBA has become?
No.
Realistically,
no.
The Toronto Raptors just won the NBA title.
But next year, how many teams can win the NBA title?
At least half a dozen, if not eight.
Yeah, seven or eight.
At least half a dozen in the Western Conference, Jerry. It is not. That's why I think.
How many teams can win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Seven. How many teams can win the Stanley Cup? 9 or 10.
That's why I think, look, I don't have a problem. Guys want to play with their friends, whatever, that's fine. I think that's why the NBA, to me, this
is not... They're not bringing up their friends that don't play in the NBA. They're bringing... My friend is Anthony Davis. You know, like...
Yeah, right.
Playing with your friends.
And if you're in the NBA and you have a chance to play with LeBron, what's wrong with that? If I'm why wouldn't I want to go? I can go to L.A., you know, be in one of the major markets, play for one of the fabled franchises with one of the greatest players in the history of the game. Sure, sign me up. I honestly think with the NBA, with this, the way things are right now, this offseason, this is not where we were a few years ago, where it was Miami formed a super team and the rest of the league was pouting. You look at the Lakers, the Clippers, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Raptors lose Kawhi Leonard, the Sixers. I would say Brooklyn, but Durant's probably missing the entire season. This is not one team has cornered the market on everybody and the rest of the league is jealous. There are, in the Western Conference next year looks unbelievably exciting with all the teams that have, it's not three and four guys superstars, it's pairs. It's now pairs of superstars on multiple teams in the league, and that's not a bad thing. I think that's great for their sport. This has been an amazing offseason for the NBA. Thank you for the call. Appreciate it. 803-0550 to join us. 888-552-550. It's funny. I was thinking about... I just got a tweet. Thanks for ruining seeing Shawshank Redemption. I did think in my head as I was saying that, how long has the movie been out? But yeah, no, this is beyond the statute of limitations for spoiler alerts. Hey, don't forget about Brews on the Water. Did you get your tickets? If you haven't, we have them for you at WGR550.com. It is a week from tomorrow. Back for another big year on the water in North Tonawanda, Gratwick Park, Brews on the Water. If you've been there before, you know how much fun it can be. If not, go this year. WGR550.com. We will have beer for you. A number of great breweries from across the country will be in town pouring beer for you, including Young Lion Brewing Company, Woodcock Brothers Brewing Company, Victory Brewing Company. We will have music for you provided by American Authors and In the Valley Below. We will have vendors there so you can do some shopping. It's all going on Saturday, July 27th at Gratwick Park on the water in North Tonawanda. General admission tickets are available. VIP tickets are available as well. You can get those by going to WGR550.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Here he starts to back down the much shorter Remy Martin. Still backing him down now. Finds Perkins for a three. Yes! From straight away, Perkins swished it. 72-49 Buffalo.
We are efforting Nick Perkins. We'll see if we can get a hold of him, and if we do, we will get him on the show here on WGR. A quick update on the Open. Tiger was 4-0 for the day. It looks like he's having some trouble on the last couple of holes. But your co-leaders remain at 8-under. J.B. Holmes, good day for scores today. A lot of stuff in the red. J.B. Holmes, Shane Lowry at 8-under. And Lowry is still on the course, too. He is already 4-under for the day. And that's through the first 6 holes. So the conditions are still pretty good in Northern Ireland at the Open. A couple guys at 7-under, Fleetwood and Westwood, they're done. And then you've got a group of now 3 guys at 6-under. Justin Rose still out on the course. Cameron Smith, Justin Harding, they are complete for the day. You got Koepka and Smith. If you're looking at some big names on the leaderboard, those guys have finished their second round and are both sitting at 5-under. So it is shaping up to be a tremendous weekend.
Who's on top?
J.B. Holmes, Shane Lowry.
Oh, Shane.
Oh, don't do this. No, don't.
Jeez. He is 4-under through 6. I bet that Shane ends up as the leader through 2 rounds today. He's got a lot of golf left. Everybody else around
him. Yeah, he's only through 6 holes.
Right.
Yeah.
And Rose is on the 18th.
Yep.
Tony Finau is also on the 18th, but Shane is on the 7th. If you heard yesterday's show...
I still don't understand.
I went back and listened to it and laughed at it again.
You were really enjoying yourself.
I was really.
I'm sitting here clueless.
Shame.
Because I never watched the show. But you are.
Shame.
You're like a little kid over there going, this is really funny.
There was actually another.
Like me with Poop Fest from Richard Sherman. Okay, you've done it.
There was a Game of Thrones story that the woman who plays Brienne of Tarth, she was, you know how sometimes you have to submit for your own Emmy nomination, a radio, Marconi.
I didn't know that.
She submitted.
Really?
She entered herself for the Emmys.
I feel like you shouldn't do that.
She did. And she got nominated.
Okay. Well, I mean, good for her, but I feel like if no one nominates me, like I don't know. I'd feel kind of odd putting in my own nomination.
But how does that all work with nominations? You know, like to be up for a Marconi, kind of have to act like,
Well, there are certain awards, right? You have to submit your work. I think maybe that's a little bit different. Like, yeah, sure. Like awards to broadcasters, to TV and radio stations. You would submit, here's our coverage of this event.
Right.
And you submit it to be considered in that particular category. I don't know. I feel like with an Emmy, you shouldn't have to submit your work on Game of Thrones. Like that people would have seen it. People who are voting on this stuff would have you don't submit Oscar nominations if you're like the director of a movie.
Yeah, you do.
Do you?
That's how it works. HBO confirmed
you submit your own movie and
you
say,
don't
would
do
you
it.
Please
your studio would.
Yeah,
or whoever.
Okay, right.
HBO confirmed its awards team did not submit Gwendolyn Christie's name.
Why not?
So she, through her manager, did.
Wow, that's weird. Does she deserve an award?
Yeah, sure. Okay. She got nominated, so she's up for it.
Well, she got nominated because she submitted.
You have to pay a fee, though.
To submit it.
There's
out,
a fee submit to your submit your, for Emmy consideration.
How much does it say?
$225 bucks.
That's not that bad. Relatively speaking.
Two other self-submitted nominees, Alfie Allen and Karis Van Houten. I don't know who they are. But, so Brienne of Tarth nominated for an Emmy because she put in her own nomination.
I wonder if we should start doing that with sports awards. Hey, submit your name for the heart.
Heisman. I'm in.
Yeah, right? Why not? That's just weird. Yeah, I don't know. I would kind of hope maybe you'd put the pressure on somebody else to get your name in there. Like if you think you've been left off the list, convince somebody to submit your name for a nomination. And then as long as it gets to the committee for the voting process, it's fine. Nothing you can do after that. But I just think I would be feeling odd as opposed to, again, with our business, it's different. You know, we would submit, in theory, if you and I had a really good show at some point, we would submit that show for, hey, consideration for the best morning sports show of the year, blah, blah, blah. I just feel like hey, I'm really good, nominate myself for the award. Nah, I don't know. I wouldn't actually do that. Okay, yeah, right. On the jersey thing, I mentioned the throwbacks, how I don't think franchises should be wearing jerseys of, cities that used to have that team. Someone tweeted in and said Sacramento, which if I believe I've got this right. Anyway, let me read you the tweet. Sacramento brought back the Rochester throwbacks, and they were awesome. Bring the Braves back for a night or two each year. Give Buffalo a nice shout out. See, I don't like that. Now, if I have this correct, Sacramento's the Kings. The Kings used to be the Royals. We're in Cincinnati or Kansas City somewhere, and they would have been the Rochester Royals too. So maybe if you're two or three cities removed from original, that's different. I'm just not a fan of it. I don't like it. I don't like the next city that gets that team wearing the old jerseys. Even the Expos jerseys, which look really sweet. Don't like the Nats wearing them. Just don't do it.
I agree. There's some you don't cross.
Maybe you have to be two or three moves removed. Like if Quebec went to Colorado and then shifted to, I don't know, Saskatoon. I just don't like that idea. You got your jersey. I just think you're just, it's still got to be difficult for fans of that city. They lost that team and you're.
Well, I'm trying to think where it would be okay. Why would you ever wear your old? I mean, the Clippers have worn the Buffalo Braves jerseys.
I think they did. I think. And maybe you look at it as, hey, what a nice shout out.
How about
I don't know,
every person that has ever watched one of the old team's games has to be dead. Then it's okay.
Okay.
Like a generational
thing. It's going to have to be real. Right, it's a time frame.
Yeah,
right. Maybe the Clippers have been gone. I mean, the Braves have been gone for what, 40 years?
Okay, so still not long enough.
Okay, see, I was going to say.
It's got to be like 95 years.
Oh.
Make sure everybody
is
dead.
Where we have like documents that are held for release from like the JFK assassination. You wait until 50 years and then we release that stuff. Yeah, I'm okay. I guess if it's a time frame thing, sure. But it has to be a long, long time removed. You still have people who are alive that went to the odd to see the Braves. I just would not like to see the Clippers. I get it. You think it's a shout out? Wonderful. I don't like it.
Lee writes in that Alfie Allen is Theon and Clarice Van Houten is Melisandre. Thank you. I guess they were both nominated as well.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. You never have to watch it.
You know what? Honestly, I've never even thought of going back and watching
it. I do that more often now where you find out someone hasn't seen something that a lot of people have seen. What is it? The afternoon show, Mike and Chris. One of them hasn't seen Forrest Gump. The other one hasn't seen something else.
Okay.
And my answer in those spots is don't bother. It's too late. You've missed your window.
But that's also a one-time thing. As opposed to going back and watching years of a series.
It's something that the culture, the world, the country has seen. A lot of people have seen it. For you to not have seen Forrest Gump, you know, you've probably heard about it so much that if you wanted to, go for it. But I often will say, don't bother. You might have missed the window.
Yeah, well, I think part of the fun of being involved in a series is the discussion. Like you and Brayton would come in and you can compare notes on Game of Thrones and I would just sit there and listen. The only show that I've considered doing that with, like, go back and watch this show, is Sopranos. I never watched Sopranos when it was out. You know, my wife watched it Sunday nights on HBO? Whenever it would have been on. My wife always watched it. I know people talked about it. It was a big thing. It was must-see TV and all that. I never watched it. And I watched like a couple episodes from year one. That's the only thing where I think, binge, go back, watch something you missed the first time. That's it. I mean, Mad Men, I tried. It didn't work out. A show comes and goes. If I didn't see it, I typically don't think about, let me go find out what I missed about all that stuff. Got a tweet about OKC wearing the Sonic jerseys. Nope.
Yeah, no, not okay.
Nope. I mean, that's Boy, that's recent. I mean, that's fairly fresh, I guess. Does Memphis wear Vancouver jerseys? I don't know. Yeah, just not a fan of that, generally speaking. I think you should I hate to put it this way, respect the dead. I mean, I just don't like going back there and doing that stuff. All right, Extendo Sports coming up in a moment. Instigators, top of the hour, WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Breaking sports news airs first here. Guaranteed. WGR Sports Radio 550. 2020 Sports.
Extendo Sports.
Quick reminder, quick note, I guess, too, about the oppressive heat. Yeah, I guess when you break out the word oppressive, you take note, right? So here's the deal. There's a heat advisory for the Buffalo metro area. There's an excessive heat warning for Niagara and Orleans counties. Okay, we're going to be around 90, maybe low 90s today and tomorrow. But with the humidity, don't ask me to explain heat index. Jeremy did earlier. It's in on-demand audio. With the heat index, we're talking about 100 to 104 in the Buffalo metro area and south. And in the heat warning area, Niagara and Orleans County, they're talking about 105 to 110 heat index. So please, you know, be aware of what, you know, help out whoever is around you. Check on people. Check on elderly people. Check on people who don't have air conditioning. Use the cooling centers if need be. Pools, splash pads. And a note from the electric companies, if you can bump your thermostat up a degree or two.
The offensive line for the Bills back in the 70s.
The electric company.
They've got,
they need those guys.
Yeah, they're,
they need a little help.
Hey, guys, we're the electric company, and we're here to say, you should do a commercial right now.
We're here to say, bump your thermostat up a degree or two to prevent power outages and blackouts.
So I turn my heat up.
You know, go from 72 to 73, 74 to 75, up a degree or two on your thermostat.
What if I don't have central air, so my thermostat doesn't even do anything? My thermostat is set at 60.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't make any difference.
Oh, well, then you're screwed.
Yeah.
I've got central
air. If I turn that to 61, nothing will happen.
No, it doesn't. Right. Yeah, I've got central air, thermostat, lock in the temperature, put it on hold, bump it up a degree or two. The peak usage is 3 to 7 in the afternoon. So, you know, to help trying to reduce the chances of the power going out, which we don't want, you know, move up the thermostat a degree or two. Update on the leaderboard. It's a lot of guys are finishing up their rounds, so I'm not sure if anybody's going to make a run here, but the one name, as you mentioned, is Shane Lowry to keep an eye on. He's still only through seven, and he's tied for the lead at 8-under, but a lot of others are done. Holmes is done. Fleetwood and Westwood at 7-under. Smith, Harding, Rose, 6-under.
Rose is in.
Koepka. These guys are all in. Koepka, Spieth. I mean, they're done for the day. Of course, yeah, I don't mean all in. They're buying in. Koepka, Smith, and are 5-under. Alex Noren.
Have you seen the projected cut?
Yes. It is plus one, or it has been. Let me see if it changed. Still plus one.
Plus one gets in?
Yep. Under, yeah, two over and worse, you're not in. So Jason Day, at this point, Jason Day missing the cut. He finished, or he's through 17 at two over. Forget Mickelson, forget Woods. I don't even know where is McIlroy today? I think you can forget him, right? He was 8 over going into round two.
Yeah. How did Duval rebound?
Yeah, that's funny. Let me scroll all the way to the bottom. He has not teed off. He's going to tee off 248. What's that, our time? He would have just teed off.
He's got some work to do.
He's at 20 over. So
he's got to be 18 under.
He's got to pick up. No, he'd still miss the cut. He's got to pick up 19 strokes right now to hit the projected cut of one over. Seems like that's hard to do. Pick up 19 strokes? Yeah, so he's at 20 over. That's not good for him. I mentioned Tiger, Adam Scott. These are all guys that at this point are going to miss the cut. Last check, I think Tiger might be still 5 over or so for the tournament. He's at 5 over. He had a good day today, 2 under through 17, but he was in such a hole from yesterday, it's not going to make up any kind of a difference. Having said that, some of the big names are not there. It's still shaping up as a fantastic final 2 days of golf this weekend to see. And early golf is a wonderful thing.
I'm going to predict a Sabres trade this weekend.
Don't do that to me.
Just going to do it.
I can't believe I did what you did. I cannot believe at 2:45 this morning, the first thing I did was reach my, the first thing was, crap, it's 2:45 and I'm wide awake. And then the second thing was, reach for the phone. I wasn't even looking for a trade, man. I was looking for a rumor. I was hoping, hey, I went to bed early. Maybe there was a nice, big, juicy Sabres rumor that came on board overnight. 2:45 this morning. Did not find anything, by the way.
I woke up and did the same thing. I woke up and did that at 11:30, though. Sometimes when you wake up in the middle of the night thinking it's 4 a.m. and it's 11.
Yeah. I woke up at 2:45, wide awake. I laid in bed for about an hour trying to get back to sleep, going, well, if you get to sleep now, you still have an hour, 45 minutes, 30 minutes. Then I realized, okay, not happening. Let's just get up and let's go back and let's get into work, get in there early, and get ready for the big show. Have a nice, good nap today in my central air conditioned home.
I was going to say, you have to have that air on, otherwise you're not going to sleep.
Air's been on for 2 weeks. I think it's been almost nonstop for the last couple weeks. So, and I am not complaining, by the way. We had a rotten spring. I am not complaining. This is fine, and I can have Mother Nature heat the pool, so that saves me money.
We're on the air Monday.
I'm off Monday, just so you know.
You are?
Yes, I'm off. I forgot to tell you, I'm off Monday.
On Rookies Report Day?
Monday is Rookies Report Day. Yeah, that's right. The 22nd is Monday.
Actually, I'm a veteran, so I won't report Monday either. I'll report Wednesday. Veterans report Wednesday. Perfect. I'll see you on Wednesday.
Yeah, right. Who would have to report? The intern's got to be here Monday.
Is Sal going to be out at camp waiting to see who carries what into camp?
I don't know that there's any. I don't think the media is out there until Thursday, maybe. Because it's really Wednesday?
The Wednesday.
The
local media has to
bring in the televisions and all. No, they've kind of
football season,
cut a lot of that out.
Football season starts when we get to watch players carry televisions into their rooms.
I'll text Sal. I thought they really did not have guys on campus for the move-in anymore. Hmm. But anyway, for sure they're there for Thursday.
What happened to our traditions?
Yeah. All right. Instigators are up next. Hey, stay cool, everybody. Have a good weekend. Stay safe, everybody, you know. And we'll see you next. Talk to you next week. Bye.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.